You know, just before we go into the discussion of the video brain and the games, I want to ask you a question about video gaming and your thumbs. Yeah. How many of you have ever played, I know some people call it thumb wars. Yeah, where two people use their thumbs to try to capture and pin the other person's thumbs. It requires speed, agility, and strength because, again, you've got to pin the thumbs. I remember watching one young man play thumb wars, and he was confident that he could win. He could beat just about anyone playing thumb wars because he played video games so much. And he told us, hey, I spend a lot of time playing video games, and as a result, my thumbs are quick and they're strong. And, you know, part of it, again, is actually pinning your opponent's thumbs so that, you know, you just barely touch them. They can't quickly move their thumb away from you and escape. You got to pin their thumbs down. I watched, and I tell you, his thumbs were quick. His brain was quick because, you know, his thumbs could only do what his brain told him to do. But he was so quick and alert at it that I saw him time after time just pin the other people's thumbs. And he was so strong that when he pinned the thumbs, those thumbs were pinned. And he credited to video gaming. All right. How many of you video gamers have tried that? Kind of think back on thumb wars that you engaged in when you were younger. And if you play thumb wars now, see what happens, that you've been gaming for a while. See if you have any greater success with your pinning of the thumbs in these thumb wars. All right, pop quiz, pop quiz, pop quiz. When people become addictive to video gaming, what is that actually called? I know we can say, well, they're addicted to video gaming. Yeah, we can say that, but there's a name. There's a name that has been given. What is the name that has been given? Well, a lot of people are assuming that it's played via the internet, and so they call it internet gaming disorder. Not really sure why there's not a lot of attention given to the internet games that are played right there in the house without anyone having to go online. But so they call it internet gaming disorder. Okay, and remember now, they're letting us know that with this addiction, cravings are involved. Cravings, ladies and gentlemen, would you say that there are cravings that are not particularly good for us? Okay, so let's narrow it down. Think about, for instance, a pregnant woman who craves pickles, or a pregnant woman who craves a specific type of ice cream. She may have liked it before she was pregnant. She may have hated it before she was pregnant. But now that she's pregnant, she has got to have this specific flavor of ice cream. It can't just be any ice cream. It is this specific flavor, whatever that flavor is. Maybe it's butter pecan. Maybe it's vanilla ice cream. Maybe it's strawberry ice cream. Maybe it's black walnut. Whatever flavor it is this specific flavor of ice cream that she craves. We might not necessarily say that that craving is good or bad, right? If she doesn't eat so much that she gains 80 to 100 pounds more than she should be gaining while pregnant, maybe not a bad deal, right? What about a craving for crack cocaine? What about a craving for powder cocaine? What about a craving for OxyContin? What about a craving for methamphetamine? What about a craving for more food? A craving for more dessert? And the person's not pregnant. They just crave more. So very often we can see that cravings can be harmful to us. They can be bad for us. And when we're getting to the point where we're talking about changes in the way our brains are structured and changes in the way they perform, we've really got to be asking, okay, is this craving bad for me? Is the change in structure bad for me? Is the change in the way my brain is behaving bad for me? Or is this good for me? Dr. Palouse and his team focused on how the brain reacts to video game exposure, but the effects do not always translate to real life changes. Keep in mind now, we're asking, do the changes, are they primarily positive? Are they primarily negative? Is it hard to say that it's primarily either or? The research into the effects of video gaming, they admit, is still in its infancy. And so scientists are still scrutinizing what aspects of gaming impact which brain regions and how. Which brain regions are affected and how are those brain regions affected? It's likely, Dr. Palouse says, that video games have both positive and negative aspects. Positive on attention, visual, and motor skills. Think about what I was sharing with you when we talk about motor skills now. Think about what I was sharing with you with regards to Thumb Wars. And believe me when I say there are some attention skills involved in that and visual skills. You got to be able to see where your opponent is taking his or her thumbs. You've got to have a good grasp on the relation between where their thumbs are located to where your thumbs are located in order to really be skillful at winning thumb wars. All that in addition to having thumbs able to move quickly and powerfully. So, Dr. Palouse is saying that video games may have a positive impact on attention, visual, and motor skills, but a negative impact when it comes to the risk of addiction. And it's essential that we embrace the complexity and that we not oversimplify by just saying the impacts are negative or by just saying the impacts are positive. A team of researchers from the Florida State University has stated that people should be skeptical of adverts that promote an increase in the performance of the brain that results from brain training gains. They've said that science does not support the claims that brain training gains actually promotes an increase, an improvement in the performance of the brain. Now, please make the distinction here. Brain gains versus video gains. Brain training gains. Gains that are designed, they say, to train the brain versus games that are just games, that just video games designed primarily for entertainment. They're saying that science does not support the claims that brain training games promote an increase or improvement in the performance of the brain. Their findings and previous studies confirm that there's very little evidence that brain training games can improve life in any meaningful way, according to Dr. Wally Boot, who's an associate professor of psychology and an expert on age-related cognitive decline. People are increasingly under the impression that brain training apps will safeguard them against memory loss or cognitive disorders, which is part of the reason that it's significant that Dr. Boot is also an expert on age-related cognitive decline, the time of life when we can expect cognitive decline to take place as people become older. Stay with me.